Welcome back to Soccer Card United. It's episode 207 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason, that's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hey, Jason.
Terrible weather today in Dublin.
Rain. I mean, this week has been a bogey week since Friday. Friday through to today, which is obviously Monday. Yeah. We've had snow on the Friday. Yeah. Heavy snow. Heaviest snow in like 6 years or something. Very nice day on the Saturday. A bit cold, but it was very sunny at the start of it, especially. And now it's just a bit dreary. I don't want to go outside in that, Jason.
No, bit rainy, bit dreary. But it's much brighter in the Soccer Card United, organization today
because Universe.
We're fresh off the back of the Dublin Card Show. We want to start off today by just giving everyone who was a part of it in any way, shape, or form a big thank you. Because this is our first time on the airwaves since the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge thank you to everyone that came, everyone that messaged us on Instagram, Twitter, saying we wish we would have came, we wish we could have came, we'll come next time, that sort of stuff. And just, it was, oh my God, it was so stressful, Jason, in the build up to it, the 4 months kind of proceeding when it was announced, getting everything together. High stress. I felt all the effects of that stress. The podcast felt all the effects of that stress because there was not a lot of podcasts.
The poor podcast took the brunt of it.
Yeah, it did. That and my shoulder at one point. We won't even get into that. But it was a huge success. It was unbelievable. Like it couldn't have gone better than I could have hoped with all the information I had in my head from the moment we decided to do it all the way through to the day itself. Couldn't have gone better. Couldn't have been smoother, I don't think. And the feedback resoundingly positive, which was just, a testament to us, Jason. How about that?
Well, I don't like to,
I know. It was brilliant. Honestly, I don't think it could have gone much better than it went.
If anyone wants to see what the day is like, you can go to the DublinCardShow.com and have a look at the gallery because we have loads of fantastic photographs of the day to give you a little flavor. But there were things that were captured on film and in photographs, and then there were things that weren't. So the only way to really know how good it was is to come next year.
That's it, and there will be a next year. Is that a confirmation, Jason?
I think I can now confirm that there will be a year two of the Dublin Card Show. The Dublin Card Show will return.
Wow, that's a big. Yeah. Can I say that the media that we got around it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
we're talking national radio. We're talking the day of the show, which led to a lot of my anxiety and your own, I would imagine, was that you got pulled onto national television during the most crucial 2 to 3 hours of the show.
Yes.
An hour before doors opened, you were back about 2 hours after the doors opened.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was not exactly needed.
No, but everyone that's seen that was like, that was amazing. Wonderful stuff. You did a great job. A testament to the company, to the country, Jason.
The great thing about it was I felt like I was there on the TV, and I felt as if the whole card collecting community was speaking through me, you know?
Wow.
It was like
you should get that checked.
I think I can get some sort of cream for it. Steroid.
Can I say, you're looking very fresh, Jason. You're looking well rested. You're looking well groomed, even. You look wonderful.
I feel good. I feel like I'm in that postcard show glow.
Yeah, you look great. Glow up, big glow.
What would you say? The week, because we were entertaining until Monday, so kind of Friday to Monday, that entire weekend.
Anyone that was in the country, we were doing our best to give them time.
Yeah.
For sure.
So then I would say it was just kind of this weekend. This weekend was the first weekend in months and months and months without a card show in the offing. So that was massive.
And there was a lot of card shows on. So shout out to those. Obviously, there was one on in Southampton that I would have loved to come to. And there's another one on in Milton Keynes next weekend. But we very much have decided we need a break. Like, people are not going to see us vending at a show until, I think, June.
Yeah, June is the next one, I believe.
Yeah. We'll be attending one or two, but we won't be. We need a break, basically, And I felt it. This weekend, I got to watch some football, Jason. I had a little football day on Sunday. It was great.
Good.
I needed it. I needed it. I've done some organization in-house as well. But, it's just those kind of things that need doing. Definitely. Some people were asking, when's the next show? Is there one in December or in the winter? And it's one a year. Because I feel like if it's not one a year, there's always one on the horizon kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. You do need a kind of an off season.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But yeah, no, I couldn't believe it. Like the reception we got kind of everywhere was we featured on Sports Illustrated, Jason, by the way.
Yes.
SI collects the new collectibles leg of Sports Illustrated. We featured on it, which was class. Like, that's class. Sports Illustrated, Jason. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. But I tell you what, Sports Illustrated, nothing compared to the Ultimate Hobby News website, Sports Collectors Daily.
No. No, Jason. Say it. Whoa. What are you saying?
When that man, Rich Mueller, slid into my DMs and said, Jason, do you have anything to do with the Dublin Card Show? I was positively electric with excitement.
Starstruck. You're telling me Rich Mueller slid in your DMs, Jason?
Rich Mueller, who knows this. We've sat on this podcast for long-time listeners, they'll know he writes most of the podcast.
He's the show for a long time. He covers the news like nobody else. He has his finger on the pulse of this hobby like no one else, and that is why it is humbling. Humbling, I would say, Jason, that he had his finger on the pulse of the Dublin Card Show.
We are not worthy. We are not worthy. and Rich Mueller put Horacio on the case, and we ended up with a lovely story.
I feel like it was on Rich Mueller's desk, but it had to be taken away and delegated because a bigger news story swooped in, which we can get to later.
Yeah.
But yeah, to be honest, like that kind of, I suppose, American coverage of the Dublin Card Show.
Yeah.
It speaks, obviously, I would say, to our own brand in the States, because obviously, like, we feature on Sports Card Nonsense. We have a big US following. So I assume one of those two things kind of caught the attention of Sports Illustrated, I would assume.
Yeah.
And then I would assume maybe Sports Illustrated, you know, something can't go on that without, like, Sports Collectors Daily, they're everywhere. But
Yeah.
That was kind of, I love that, because I don't know how many of the European or UK shows got that kind of US coverage, and it kind of felt nice to get that. And then I also feel like the event itself warranted that in the end, whereas it didn't necessarily pre. Like, they had nothing to go on, they just decided to cover it.
Yeah.
But then I do think the event itself, you know, when you justified see the photos,
their
you,
interest.
Yeah, justified, yeah. Exactly, yeah. And it is that thing of being in Dublin, being about 6 to 8 hours away from some of the East Coast in the US. There is that kind of long-term ambition to get people from the States over. We obviously had a few transatlantic travelers, but it was kind of, I don't know, it was nice. It was kind of like, this is what we kind of want. We want that US kind of awareness of our show, because we kind of want to tap into that market as well and
for get people to come over and
enjoy Dublin, of course.
But in terms of a full circle moment, and talk about the American interest, and then talking about a lot of the guys who came over from the UK as well. The podcast listeners, like a lot of people who came over are people who they, like I had a couple people kind of say to me, like with kind of a little kind of like nostalgic glint in their eye, I remember when you started the podcast, that was just around when I got into collecting, or, you know, I got into collecting soccer or whatever it was. And so I feel like it's funny how many people were there that came who are actually like been listening to the show for like 2 or 3 years. And when we started the show, we kind of, the first audience we got was an American audience, and then into the UK, and then from those two markets we kind of were able to build. But I think it's pretty amazing that a podcast that, let's face it, most people have never heard of has been able to sustain such a mad industry. I had friends and family there, and they were like, wait, that podcast you do, that is that's this. And I was like, what do you think I was,
Yeah, what do you think I'm doing? Now, you said not a lot of people know about it. It's the number one soccer podcast in the world. A lot of people do know about it, Jason. No, but to be honest,
I'm saying, as podcasts go.
Yeah, I do feel like it was the first time we got to see a physical representation of everything we've done for 3 years plus.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
It felt like we were witnessing the fruits of our labor, Jason. How about that? It felt like a lot of that couldn't have happened without the podcast, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But you know what I mean? Like the whole way through, it was kind of like, I think the mantra, I suppose, and we mentioned it maybe on both Sports Collectors Daily and Sports Illustrated, was that the two of us kind of forced Ireland to have a bigger show than it was ready for.
Yeah.
This was bigger than it needed to be, bigger than it should have been. It shouldn't have even been able to be this big, but we kind of just said, this is how big it needs to be. And then I suppose our connections and the people that were happy enough to come and support us, and all the work done by other card shows, which got a lot of people comfortable being vendors, comfortable flying to different countries,
Completely, all of that
kind of culminated to an event that is much bigger than it should have been, but also an event that should be that size going forward, if that makes sense. Like it was kind of, I thought it was a bit crazy.
Yeah, so basically, look, I'm sure there are people who are going, oh my God, they've been talking about this card show for so many months. But, you know, so basically,
get over it.
You know,
it turned out
congratulations to us. Massive thank you to everyone, out there. And for the next, you know, few months on the podcast, at least, normal service is resumed and we are not going to have, you know, six or eight calls to action every podcast.
You know, we're slowing down. We're not nothing to promote, I suppose.
Yeah, we just will not ourselves. Be. Yeah. So that's basically it. So
we're getting back to the good old days. Is that what you're saying?
I think there was like I was getting a kind of sense of a few like some YouTube comments and stuff, and I was kind of like
a few haters.
Not haters. No haters. People saying like you know kind of obliquely referencing the fact that there hadn't been podcasts. Yeah, and fair. It's like, oh yeah, like there is a, you know, because at the same time we're saying like, you know, the podcast helped us do all this stuff. And then it's like, and then when you get busy, the podcast, so it's crazy. Like, you know, so
anyway, we're going to have some that's a good
solid podcasting going
forward. We said we couldn't have done that big event without the podcast, but in order to do that big event, we put the podcast in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. Mm. You're right. And there is a lot to talk about. There's a lot happening. And it's about to be a busy, I know it's only March, but it's about to be a busy summer. I think it's going to be a bit crazy.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
You know, Fanatics have those printers at Tops working hard.
Harder than they've ever worked, maybe. But wait, at least with a multitude of different products versus a giant print run of one product. But
yes, true. Still, true.
It's a new era.
Maybe the designers are working hard. Maybe the printers are doing the same amount of work, but the designers are working harder than ever.
Who knows?
Anyway. The big story that Rich Mueller had to drop the Dublin Card Show and delegate that to somebody else for was a shock. What can only be described as a shockwave through the hobby ecosystem.
Wow.
As Collectors, the parent company of such brands as PSA and Golden.
Can I say Collectors is such a good name for kind of a conglomerate company in this?
They used to be called Collectors Universe and then they said drop the universe. It's clean.
Collector. It's brilliant.
So they announced that they would be acquiring SGC.
Wow. They're kind of closest competitor to a degree. Obviously, there's like a lot of... That first place spot is sewn up. The second place spot is kind of up in the air. But a lot of positivity towards SGC for the last few years, especially for vintage.
Yes.
And their quick turnaround times, etc. So that's huge for them to buy. It's huge.
The PSA have obviously benefited most from Beckett's complete decline of market share. I would say SGC have benefited second most.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've seen them kind of like, especially in soccer as well, they have kind of a lot of play because there's they have a whole vintage kind of reputation and...
Soccer, a lot of European soccer crowd were new to the game.
Yeah.
Didn't know too much about grading. They were the fastest, they were best price probably to get back.
Yeah.
It is very prominent over here.
So... I'll just read this some stuff here from SI Collects from our new friend Ben Burrows.
Hey, ciao Ben,
and who's a fantastic interviewer, by the way.
Can I say this might be like I think this is the first time we've covered SI Collects on the podcast ever.
You see, it's not hard. There's a quid pro quo here.
All you need to do is you know make us feel special, and feature us, and now you're getting absolute airtime. Now you're Rich Mueller.
Yeah,
there you go.
See, it's not hard. Okay, PSA parent company Collectors officially announced a stunning acquisition of SGC Grading Thursday morning. Yeah.
You're covering this on SI Collects and not the Rich Mueller cover.
Yeah.
Why? Because he put you...
I just wanted to give a little shout out to Ben, you know, because he...
Yeah, okay, fair.
You know, one of PSA's top competitors in the trading card space, SGC, will continue to operate independently. So it will continue to operate independently. That's absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
And the SGC president, Peter Steinberg, will continue to run the company's day-to-day operations. It was confirmed by sources to Sports Illustrated and SI Collects. So he had the scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Here we go. Here's what Nat Turner said. Our old friend Nat Turner, who did mention Dublin back in the day, didn't he?
Yeah, as a potential hub for PSA when we reach out to them. Yeah. Well, we messaged them. We heckled them on Twitter.
Yeah.
We gave it a like.
So, Nat Turner, who said this?
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. I like to think once in future, friend of the show. Our portfolio focuses on service providers that bring expertise, quality, and value to hobbyists, and SGC has a strong reputation on these three fronts. We recognize that every collector has their own preferred authentication grading provider, and we look forward to providing expertise that will continue to enhance SGC's customer offering. And then Steinberg, the SGC president, said, "This is all about our customers, and we are excited to take this major step forward as we continue to improve SGC's products and services that collectors have come to love. We can't imagine a more like-minded partner than collectors to help innovate SGC's overall offering as a trusted brand and authority in the collectibles industry."
Well, if you own SGC and you get bought out, that is your ultimate bag, I think. You're delighted.
Oh, yeah.
PSA are such a juggernaut. So for them to acquire you instead of just trying to kill you is incredible. So congratulations to them, first and foremost.
In 2023, apparently, SGC finished third in market share behind CGC, who had 10% of market share.
Yeah,
SGC had 7%, and Beckett had 4%. Mm. So it's interesting.
I think Beckett is a sleeping giant in the hobby, though. I think they've had so many problems, obviously, but I do think they're like a good purchase. If you're a venture capitalist or whatever, like they're like
Not investment advice.
Yeah, no, but like revive them. Like they have such a, because really was like pre-pandemic, I think Beckett was number one. Like people fucking love Beckett. Like so many of the kind of cooler old school cards are in Beckett grades, slabs, sorry. They've really had a huge fall from grace.
Yeah, it does seem like, I think we've said before, when you had the likes of Arena Club and tag grading and all that stuff that had kind of some venture money behind them, because you have like the big challenge for legitimacy as a grader is just that you have to get good cards in your slabs.
Yeah.
And BGS has so many great cards in their slabs already.
But they just have the history, like even Dr. Beckett, like they have it's there to be done kind of thing. But obviously I suppose they bought it from him. So someone did do that move and then just fucked it, basically.
Yeah, true.
Worked to a crisp.
Because now you have a situation where you have all these. Yeah. Anyway, so in terms of the operating independently thing, that's always kind of the question with this sort of stuff. Is like, number one, will it operate independently? Because we had that question when they bought Golden and already owned PSA. You know, potential bias towards whatever. But also like, I believe, and this is like third or fourth hand information, I believe there was a tweet from Darren Rovell who initially broke the story, actually, that I remember. He had a series of tweets, and one of the tweets, which was later deleted, as far as I can remember, was that they would be offering crossover between PSA and SGC and would be respecting each other's grades. But that was deleted, so we can't take that as confirmed. But
that's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because like, I have some cards, for example, I have some 2020 Sapphire Formula One cards that are, like I have one that's like an SGC 9.5. And I personally think if I crossed it over, I'd get a PSA 8. But if they were to respect the grading of an SGC 9.5, that should cross over to a 9 or a 10, which is kind of...
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And then at that point, why have the two brands operating separately?
But then it's also like, is that a huge buying opportunity for cool cards that are famously in an SGC 10 that are valued much lower than a PSA 10, but now you can potentially cross that over. That's probably why I got deleted, because that's actually a very sensitive. That's very sensitive.
Yeah. If you could have somebody go out on the base of that information and buy up a load of SGC cards.
Like, I'm sure there's Fleer Jordan SGC 10s out there, and they definitely don't sell for what the PSA 10 does, but if they're going to respect it, then it's like, ooh. But then at the same time, if they don't respect it, it's like, do you not respect yourself kind of thing?
Exactly, because it's
fascinating.
Because obviously collectors don't run, I mean, they own PSA, but they don't kind of like, I'm sure the people in PSA have their own opinion about their grading scale versus other grade. Because if you didn't think that your grading scale was the ultimate grading scale, there'd be no point in
doing anything.
In insisting that you ought to be a grading company, like, you know.
But it's like, if you did come out and kind of said, I will, any SGC 10 is a PSA 10, but you have to pay, you know, $15 to cross over, like how much money would they just generate by doing that alone?
I know. It'd be massive.
Crazy.
That's so
funny. I remember back in the day, I think with your man who has like the craziest vintage collection, I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
El Rey,
exactly. He I think got like offers from PSA, just obviously back in the day, but got offers from PSA to swap his slabs from SGC to PSA, because obviously he has like some of the coolest soccer cards in existence, and I think baseball as well. That it's like just having these amazing vintage pieces in a PSA slab is so much good marketing or press for PSA. But it's like, it's interesting now, if you own both, do you still have a preference between that? It's kind of, yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Or is it, you know, from collector's point of view, is it kind of just a way to, you know, why not have the two of them? It's almost like, yeah, let them have a go. Let them compete. You know, if SGC wins, we win. If PSA wins, we win. You know, is it kind of just, yeah.
Someone like did a mock-up of like a PSA slab, but instead of the red label, it was black. You know, like it was black around it. Mm. They were kind of like, what if they did this? And like still blacked out the rest of it. Like basically, what if they kind of made the SGC slab a bit more PSA-y, but kind of kept the color scheme and the tuxedo vibes?
Oh, hang on a second. I've just found a Darren Rovell. So I saw it on a Facebook group, that that tweet that was apparently tweeted and then deleted.
Yeah. Oh, was Darren Rovell saying it was never real?
Yes. He says love on the card. The kind of quote unquote fake tweet, which is, you know, apparently fake news. Fake news was that he said more breaking news in the collector's universe acquisition of SGC. Collectors will be guaranteeing PSA will cross SGC cards to the equivalent grade and vice versa. Massive news for the card world. Somebody posted that in the Sports Card Nonsense Facebook group, shout out Sports Card Nonsense, and said, saw this little nugget before Darren Rovell deleted it. Apparently PSA will cross over all SGC and likewise to the same grade. And then Darren Rovell tweeted that and said, that love when the card community makes up totally false fake news. Not only did I never tweet this, it's not true. So now he seems to be confirming the opposite.
Yeah, which makes sense. To be honest, like, whoever did that tweet was either just trying to cause nonsense, pun intended, has a lot of SGC stuff and has skin in the game and thought you'd be clever.
Yes, but it was interesting that we wouldn't have known. He's kind of like, he's had to confirm the negative now.
Yeah, of course.
Interesting stuff.
That is fascinating.
So basically, we'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, that's why Rich Mueller couldn't cover the Dublin Card Show. He had to delegate it, so we'll accept it.
Sometimes
it's not your day. Sometimes it's not your day, Jason.
No.
There's always something happening in this hobby brewing to knock you off your perch.
That's right. Just when you think you have a kind of handle on things.
But it keeps you hungry. Someday, Rich Mueller will cover a story about you, Jason.
It's or with his company. Days.
And so now it keeps you hungry. If you had got that done already, where would you have been? If we'll Messi won the World Cup in 2014... He wouldn't be pushing this hard in 2023. 24. You know? Jesus. Yeah.
You've been done. Welcome back to the show. Whatever.
We did it. We did it.
Yeah. But I'm like, you know, I'm correcting the record.
You've almost felt it. You felt it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was close. He knows who I am. Kind of.
Yeah. I've lost the final. Kind of. Yeah.
But you have another chance.
I have another chance.
Plenty more seasons to go.
Now, some people may have seen that today, Monday, there was the launch of this, I'm right in saying new, not newly announced, but we knew it was coming, but newly released brand of Forever, something Forever. This is Bayern Munich Forever from Topps.
Okay.
And this is basically, here we go.
Nice.
The very first of its kind.
Okay.
Lovely looking box. Topps presents FC Bayern München Forever 23-24. This product has a lot to offer. That's a funny way to start your description. It's like, it's almost, you're kind of like starting on the defensive. Whoa, this product has a lot to offer now. Just hold on. And with each box, you receive three cards, and all of them are autographed. One numbered autograph guaranteed. It's an outstanding mix of legends, men and women, and you will find the heroes of the past, the present, and the future. There will also be rare duo and triple autographs from the German record champions, the record meisters. This set hits different.
Wow. Hits different.
Hits different.
It's a good slogan.
It's a very hip kind of way to describe a product.
Oh, Bayern Munich Forever hits different.
It's different. Look at that. Jamal Musiala. So,
fascinating.
Kind of a similar, I mean, we've seen kind of like a set like this with Liverpool Lineage.
100%. Now, this set hits different, but yeah, very similar.
Yes. And we had a
friendlier price point on this one.
Sorry, what was the price point? £140.
Yeah, I think Liverpool was like 240 or something along those lines.
Harry Kane, also Harry Kane, George Stanway, English player.
That's pretty nice.
I
like it. For that price, I like it. Like, if you're a fan, get involved. Like the thing with Lineage was eventually the price fell and it became a really, really good kind of gateway set to the hobby for Liverpool fans.
Absolutely.
It was like £150, £200, whatever it was. Buy a Liverpool Lineage, you get your three autographs, you go, that was class, and then you want more. So I like it. I like it. I just hope they get the Milan license at some point so I can have a bit of fun.
You'd love a Milan forever.
Oh my God. Think of the history behind. Oh,
I know.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. I would like some mix with some on-card autos or whatever. That would have been cool, but I understand the difficulty there.
Yeah. The rookies in the men's are Daniel Peretz, Franz Kratzig, and Tarek Buchmann. Probably the most exciting thing on the men's checklist, auto checklist, is Matthijs Tel. He doesn't have many autographs.
Yeah.
Right. And is probably the kind of player we're most excited about, kind of finally breaking out of Bayern Munich, probably when Thomas Tuchel leaves. Legend autographs, loads of them. Claudio Pizarro, Frank Ribery, Roy Mackay, Uli Hoeneß, Zé Roberto, Lothar Matthäus, Franz Beckenbauer, loads of Schweinsteiger there as well. And then triple legend autographs. You got Beckenbauer, Matthäus, Schweinsteiger. That's pretty cool. Lucio, Frank Ribery, Mario Basler, Roy Mackay, Jovan Elber, and Vika Olic. Very interesting. Champion mentality. Poor old Harry Kane.
Is he in there?
He's in there, yeah.
Wow.
And this is Bayern autographs, which is kind of like an insert. Yeah. So basically, I think this is something that Bayern Munich fans will love, and any fan, I think, will love when it's of their club and will think it's kind of stupid when it's not of their club.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know?
Because we've seen leaks online of an Arsenal forever, I think. So this definitely looks like it's going to be, whether they'll use it for all the club licenses they have or not, but we'll see more of it. It won't just be Bayern.
Yeah. And as we say, like it is a good way to, because people feel about their clubs ways they don't feel about football in general. You know,
and like again, we have that thing where people feel like they need to buy everything, and it's like when you create a set like this, some people like get angry, and it's like there's so many kind of German or Bayern Munich fans that have never really engaged with the hobby that will eventually buy this set and it could get them started. And like, that's the point. Yeah. Same thing happened with they released the West Ham set and a lot of people were up in arms, but it's like, I'm sure the West Ham fans were like, that's class.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like every new kind of set like this that kind of actually targets a different demographic is positive for the overall, I would say.
Yeah. Because you have a situation where like you can say someone's a Bayern Munich fan, and they're not a card collector, but you're a card collector and you're looking to get them a birthday present or a Christmas present or something. You're not, excuse me, you're not going to just get a box of Topps
Chrome
for them because they don't know, you know, and say like, oh, there could be some Bayern players in there, but you might get them a box of Bayern Munich forever and go, open this, wait until you see what's in this. Because to us, like autographs and all that stuff, autographs and relic cards and everything are very normal. But for an ordinary non-collecting fan, you go like, wait, hang on, this Sebastian Schweinsteiger autograph, this is cool.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's like, we had that at the card show, people going up and going like, so hang on, that's actually like, that's Robbie Keane's actual autograph, he actually signed that. And it's like, yeah, and if you're not bet into the hobby, that's still impressive.
100%. And like, that's why I like these sets. Whether or not we'll get a Milan one, we don't know, but yeah, looking at the other team licenses they have, there could be some really nice forever sets made.
Yeah, remember for the long time they had.
It's a new take. We've had the high-end Chrome sets, we've had the Lineage, we've had this now, and we've also had the Topps Chrome for like Barcelona and Juventus. Uh-huh. They're kind of different kind of takes on these licenses, and it's interesting to see that.
Speaking of Topps Chrome, the high-end one, did you see PSG Chrome?
Yeah, PSG Chrome for last season is coming.
Yes.
The significance of that is not that it's very late. The significance is that Messi, Mbappe, and Neymar were all still in PSG when they're all in it again. As a man that still has a few of the OG PSG boxes, I would have loved to not see this. Because then it would have been a real moment in time, standalone kind of set. But here we have it. It's coming back.
Yeah, I see it available on Cherry. In Australia for 13,000 Australian dollars, which I think is like 9,000 euro, is it?
I'll tell you now, 13,000?
Yeah.
It's 7,800 euro, and I would go as far as to say 7,800 euro, you might be able to get one of my first euro sets. But in fairness, all the 101s haven't been hit, etc., etc. The design looks okay, like it looks different. But yeah, I don't know.
I think it was interesting, you look at the on-card autos coming out of MLS Finest.
Yeah.
And they're outperforming Messi's on-card autos from PSG Chrome.
yeah, I don't hate that as an idea. Obviously, first versus whatever, but I do think he still has a legacy to make in Miami. I think the pink kit hits different.
Yeah.
The fear would be that they just keep producing them, though. There's only but so many the market could handle.
Yeah, and obviously, like the market is American driven, and if you know, it's obviously a collectible in itself. When Messi played in the,
and he won the League's Cup. Not that is anything really.
He
won the League's Cup. I said not that that's anything
about the League's Cup.
Listen, I watch them games. It matters. The League's Cup is a big deal. It's a weird one. Who knows how long he's going to stay at Miami? That's the thing. Like if he left at the end of this season, there would only be one season of it, I guess, unless they kind of retrospectively make more. I don't know, but it's weird. I mean, he's done very well since obviously he's one of the best players of all time. But he's done very well at the Miami in terms of his goal scoring. He's lived up to the hype to a degree, and obviously what he needs is an MLS Cup that'll cement his legacy. People said he needs the World Cup, not quite. He needs to beat Giovinco. Yeah, try again. Giovinco did it. He needs the help of every single Barca player that he liked, helping him along the way. But yeah, I mean. PSG ultimately is not a no. Neither. I don't know. Listen, I'm not getting.
Let's not get into it.
Let's not get into it at all.
But let's just say
it looks class.
Yeah. So. There's also an element of I think PSG fans. I don't know. I think PSG fans didn't really enjoy having Messi at the club. He didn't enjoy being there. It was kind of like
because of how it happened. Like,
yeah,
I've never seen a player move to a club in tears, having a press conference, breaking down, be like, "I actually want this to happen. Just heard about it." That's not like endearing to the fan.
So I think that kind of, you know, them PSG felt disrespect by being used as a training camp for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Whereas Inter Miami fans don't, and MLS in general don't feel like that at all.
No, they're just happy.
They're just happy.
Which is grand. Like that's okay.
That's fine. You're allowed to be happy.
That's perfect.
Let's finish up on a listener question that I believe we originally got 3 or 4 months ago. And
can I actually cut you across just for one bit of news as well? That
please go ahead.
The checklist for Panini Serie A score came out.
Oh, wow.
So that's actually up for pre-order in Italian Panini. They won't ship it anywhere other than San Marino and Italy because, you know, Panini be Panini. But there's a lot of Frosinone players on the checklist, so I'm very excited
for hunting
the 101s. I refuse. I'm not going to pay over comps for the 101s, but I will find them. I don't want people robbing us blind, Jason. But the most exciting thing for a non-Enzo and Jason fan of, obviously, Frosinone, is that for the first time ever, we're getting licensed Zlatan Ibrahimovic autographs. We obviously seen them for Leaf in unlicensed jersey, so it kind of was expected. Yeah. He signed with Icons, etc., or he was been with Icons, I believe. But basically, Panini Serie A score has Zlatan Ibrahimovic autographs, which means other Serie A products that release this year, we can expect Zlatan Ibrahimovic autographs. Whether or not he is exclusive to Panini, we don't know. If he's not, we should see that in Topps products as well, you would imagine.
Yes. I'm just having a look now at the
checklist.
At the checklist. Strong checklist. Strong auto checklist. Serie A, what a league.
Yeah, what a league. Score is obviously score, but still. This is the beginning of our Frosinone PC, Jason, and I'm fucking excited.
It's very exciting. It's the first time
a Frosinone player has had a parallel card. And if we stay in the league, although it's starting to look very ropey, it won't be the last.
But we've even got some inserts and everything. It's very exciting.
Oh,
we've got one insert, I think.
The hardest player to pick up is going to be Matheus Sule because he's been class.
But you know what? He has
rookies. Yeah, I know that. But
he has rookies. He has.
People are still going to be pissy about it. And, like, I want it because he's not in the Juventus kit. I don't care about the rookie. It's that kind of classic thing of if I can get a black score, black prism, whatever they're going to do, black select, I don't even know. Matheus Sule in a Frosinone kit, I want it. I don't want to talk about it. I want it. I want the black blazer. I want the black lava, whatever the fuck they're going to do and score. I want them all. I'm very excited about that. The only thing I won't be doing is buying boxes because they won't ship it to us. I'm not paying 80 quid to try and get. I'm going to just find all the 101s. I'm going to hunt them down and I'm going to get them out of Italy.
Right. I'm just having a look at our non-base cards. Breakthrough, Anthony Oyono, in the insert. Stefano Turati for the keepers. I realize to everyone else in the world, this is. But you know what? Don't listen to the show if you don't like Frosinone talk.
Yeah, this is really up, the Frosinone masked as a card podcast.
Next up, insert for Matteo Sule as well. So that's a nice one.
More 101s to hit.
More 101s to hit. So very exciting.
I'm into that. As soon as they make whatever premium Serie A product they make this year, whether it's Mosaic, Select, or Prism, I really want like a Serie A Prism. I think that would be really cool. Whatever they do this year at Panini, I'll be all over the breaks probably with that, Jason. Assuming, again, the breakers don't jack the price or throw them in with others. We're not others. I'm going to be DMing breakers saying, here, listen, can you reduce your other spot by $5 and let me buy Frosinone by myself?
Don't put us in with Lecce.
No, don't you dare.
Please don't put us
not in. After the weekend. Not after the weekend. Don't you dare.
It hurts too much.
Don't do it.
But I look at I'm not gonna spend any more time on it. But I was gonna say, like, someone like Walid Chadira, who, like, you know, in terms of a relationship with that player, I thought like, oh, this is gonna be like, you know a game's going badly when Chadira comes on. But now I'm like, go on, big man.
Yeah, get the job done.
Put yourself about a bit, Walid. Good man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, yeah, but I hope the hobby doesn't fuck us.
No, I feel like
that would. Okay.
No way.
All right. I just people need to be more friendly to it. Jason, listener question. Sorry, just to see us out.
Listener question. This is from Iggy's Cards. And if you remember, Iggy's Cards sent this in. Lost it, asked it, and he came back. And so we're all good. Here we are. The question is this. Sending to the top of your inbox as requested. Now, that itself was like 6 weeks ago. Here we go. Jason and Enzo. I'm a long-time listener to the podcast, and I look forward to each episode.
Thank you.
I am a US-based seller, and my inventory is almost entirely soccer card singles. I'm currently using eBay's global shipping program, and I am finding out what a terrible service it is for foreign buyers. A Canadian customer recently contacted me enraged that he owes $75 of duty at the post office to pick up his card. I guess eBay doesn't even tell buyers what they owe in taxes and duty until the card is already in their country. Do you have any tips for US sellers to limit shipping costs for customers or to provide better service? I have to assume eBay Global Shipping is crushing my sales to customers outside the US. Thanks.
Yeah, that's tough. We have like the opposite problem kind of here, I guess. I suppose that's it. The hobby is segmented. Nobody wants to pay customs on their cards, as understandable. The only thing I can think off the top of my head is CompC.
Yes.
Check out my cards. You put it there. It's on that their global kind of database or whatever. And then people buy it. It stays in the country that it's in. So they're not going to pay customs. They can buy and sell there. Removes the shipping costs. Removes a lot of the headaches. The only thing is, unfortunately, you actually have to send your cards to CompC. So you can't have it on eBay and CompC. Well, you can put it on CompC and then put it on eBay via CompC.
Yeah, they list all CompC cards are listed on eBay.
Yeah, so probably CompC is, and they just got acquired by eBay, if I'm not mistaken. Was it eBay that acquired them?
There's a partnership going on. I'm not sure there was
an acquisition. Well, whatever. Even that acknowledgement of user actually doing such an amazing service. Let's do something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was acquired or not. I thought it was. That would probably be your best bet. It's a bit of work on your end to get all your cards sent to them. It's going to take a long time for them to upload everything, I believe, a few weeks or a few months to get it done. But once they're up, it's kind of very, very good.
Yeah.
And I think getting better every day. And I think it's something that we always tell Europeans is like, go on to CompC. It's a good way of stacking up, because like you can stack up a load of cards and then do one shipment, which saves you on the shipping costs. I think it's kind of a database that more and more people will go on to in the future. I think we don't really touch on it enough. Like I have stacks and stacks of cards that I'm organizing right now, and I definitely want to set up a Soccer United port on CompC. Because I do actually think it's a really, really good service.
Just to say what happened back in December, adding another element to its collectibles operations, eBay on Wednesday announced it entered into a commercial agreement with CompC, a sports trading card company, and invested an undisclosed sum into the company. As part of the deal, eBay customers can access CompC's capabilities, including digitizing their inventory and connecting with buyers and sellers, according to the announcement. The investment will support CompC's effort to improve the platform for its customers, employees, and partners, as well as accelerate the pace of innovation, according to Tim Getch, CEO and co-founder of CompC. eBay is diving deep into the collectible space, purchased TCG Player last year, blah, 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 blah. Thanks to CompC, customers can access collectibles, sports memorabilia, toys, and other items per eBay's website. Basically, they're just kind of figuring out how to kind of integrate themselves more and more. There is a problem, obviously, there, like the situation described with the Canadian customer, where, you know, they get their the text from the post office to say, hey, we have your card, but you got to come pay duties.
Yeah,
that is, I don't know, like, that's, there's not really much you can do to get around that in terms of people not knowing what they have to pay and don't have to pay.
Yeah, that happens a lot with us when we ship to the UK on eBay. Like people are just shocked. They're like, oh, I had to pay customs. And it's like, yeah, you're not part of the European Union. That's what happens. You know, it's like, now sometimes I think eBay does collect it maybe on eBay now.
I think it depends on.
Yeah, it depends, right? Doesn't it?
Where you're buying from and where you're buying, where you're sending.
Yeah, because if I buy stuff from the States, we pay taxes when it arrives, like imports upon arrival. So yeah, it's a bit of a clunky system. I think ComC, if you're willing to kind of wait a month or so, or I don't really know how long it takes. I think it is a few months. If you're willing to wait a few months for them to upload it, the biggest issue maybe on ComC is liquidity, but then that's improving all the time. And because you can list it straight to eBay, that's not actually a problem at all.
Yeah. And then in general, I suppose, like, I feel like we've been talking about the fact that like there's kind of this, people really don't want to acknowledge the existence of trade barriers. We've been talking about that since the very start of the podcast. That's just been a running thing. And there are people who will, you know, like, there are people who will kind of feign surprise, like, oh, what? And now I have to pay customs because in the six days since they bought the card, they were like, oh, I don't really want, you know.
But it comes down as well. Lots of people buy cards to sell them on. Like, maybe there's a card show coming up. Maybe they know someone that they think they could flip it to and stuff like that. And it's like, I think it's less of an issue if you're buying something for personal use kind of thing.
Completely.
Yeah, you pay, obviously, because it impacts your margin if you're trying to sell it. So I think that's kind of something that our industry has a lot of, is people buying to sell. And they're kind of like, oh, I have to fucking, now I can't make money because that's my margin gone. And they're like infuriated. Whereas like, if you were just selling TVs or something, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
People buy a TV for themselves.
If it's a PC card, it's like, oh, I got this for 100 quid. Oh, it's 125 quid. Well, I still want it. Like, you know, because it's like the motivation's coming from a different place.
Yeah, 100%. Now, obviously, if it's not a 101 or something like that, you might be like, oh, fuck, I could have got this PC card somewhere else and it would have been cheaper. Damn, I thought this was cheaper. Like, it's a bit annoying. I think that comes down to like the people that are buying on eBay are not necessarily like business professionals or, you know, not import export experts or anything like that. So that's where that comes from. But yeah, I think ComC is a good solution for that. You obviously have like the PWCC marketplace, Golden marketplace. Like, there are options out there.
Right, I do think kind of things like that.
Yeah, a centralized kind of marketplace helps you with that. ComC, because it links into eBay, would probably be the best recommendation because you're not losing that eBay visibility, which is underrated.
I think best case scenario, eBay would have full kind of transparency and full kind of like, you know, as much work as they can do to collect all of the various charges at checkout. Because at least if you go onto a car, go into a purchase and you go through and it's like, there's the price, there's the shipping. Oh, and here are the taxes. We'll collect them and we'll pay them. That's great. But obviously there are some territories. It sounds like Canada is one way they can't do that. So like that kind of stuff from the platform's point of view, that really helps if you can.
Yeah. Because it's less of a headache to just cancel a sale when someone goes to check out and they realize the taxes are there versus you shipping it, doing all the work and getting a message being like, I had to pay as if like you're the government collecting the taxes. It's like,
exactly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't get it.
There are people that just don't pay it and then it gets returned and that's a headache for the seller. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, again, if you really want, like, not that I would recommend it, but like you could just put yourself wherever you kind of find those issues, whether it's Canada or elsewhere, you could just not ship to those locations to remove your headache. Obviously, you're losing access to be able to sell it, but at the same time, you're saving the headaches, which probably aren't worth it.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you can go to your eBay shipping settings and just turn yourself off on various locations.
Yeah.
Like, we have that, like, especially coming in a market like Ireland all the time, you know, shipping not available. And sometimes you message a seller and say, hey, can we work something out? And they do work it out. Sometimes they just say no. And generally the story is someone says, no, I tried that once. I shipped it to Denmark and it was a whole nightmare. So now I just don't ship to the EU. But yeah.
Yeah. If a Canadian really, really wants your card, they can set up a little US address kind of thing or whatever, a postal box.
Yeah.
whatever, let them deal with all that. That's, you know, but yeah, it is a genuine challenge that is happening because it's a global hobby. You like, if someone in Canada hit a 101 Frosinone from Serie A score, I'd want it. I'd be annoyed about the taxes. Obviously, 101, I'll just pay it. But it's like, that's what's going to happen. It's a global thing where you're all opening the same product. So some of the cards you want are in territories where there's trade barriers. That gets a bit complicated. I do think CompC, eBay is good. Obviously, eBay still has that issue. I think CompC removes the issue because the card never actually goes to the country.
Card never moves anywhere. It's always just stays in the States. Yeah.
But like, if you sell it, if eBay CompC, if you buy something, like, can that stay in CompC or does that just have to be shipped to you?
So if you buy a CompC card on CompC, it stays in the warehouse. If you buy it on eBay, it gets delivered to you.
Okay, because eBay wouldn't let you not do that at the moment. Yeah, okay, cool. So that'd be an option. Because like, a Canadian guy could see your CompC eBay listing. See, like, they'll know, if they're smart enough to know, they'll know I have to pay taxes on that, but then they know they can just log into CompC and buy the exact card.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somewhat of a solution.
And it's cheaper if you buy it directly on CompC. It's
of course
cheaper.
They up their price for eBay fees, etc.
Yeah. So this was not a sponsored segment by eBay or CompC.
No, neither of them sponsored the Dublin Card Show. So it definitely was. We should beep out the names chased across the board.
But we're feeling
the solution. That is the solution.
Yeah, that's a solution.
Because the real solution is illegal. So that's the solution.
So as far as we're concerned, that's the solution.
Yeah, we can't come on this podcast and say what the real solution is.
I don't want to upset anyone in the Canadian government. No,
certainly
if
not.
If anyone has any advice for Iggy's cards, do send it in.
Yeah, if there's something we were missing, we're happy to spread that around. We think that's the best solution based on our experience.
But what do you think out there in Soccer United land?
What company do you guys want to pump? There you go.
Yes. So that concludes episode 207 of Sock Cards United. I can say with great certainty that we're back on Thursday for another podcast.
No way.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it. We're back.
Have a great week, everyone.
See ya.